Welcome to Podcast Matchmakers, where we help independent podcasters with their audience growth and developing a deeper connection to their podcast listeners. One of the ways we do that is through this podcast, where we guide one specific podcast listener through three different podcasts that we try to match them up with. My name is Stephanie, and I'm your host in this experience. Before we meet our guest, I need to shout out our podversaries for the month of October 2021. We have two podversaries this month. On the first of the month, we had The Curiosity of a Child with their two-year podversary. Congratulations. On the 19th of the month, the October Jones and Fish with Legs podcast, which is really adorable, has their first year podversary. You too can get shout outs on the podcast and in the newsletter and on our socials by going to podversary.com. It is a one-time fee and that will last you for the life of your podcast. And every year you'll get special attention the entire month and especially on the day of your podversary because you work really hard on your podcast and you deserve attention on that day. All right, let's get to meeting our podcast listener for this episode. Hello, Barry, hello. You have a big space in podcast land. Can you sum that up for us?
I just try to make podcast industry stuff more accessible and making sure people understand it as it is, while also understanding they can get into podcasting and understanding the levels of it. It's not just like easy. So I kind of just want to make sure we understand it. And I'm not like, hey, you can't do that. And I'm like, hey, you can do this, but here are the steps that you might want to follow so it makes it easier.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. And you have so many different spaces too. Like you've got at least, was it two different hashtags with like podcast recommendations? Or is it more than two now?
Well, just the two, pods and color, and then pod in if people are listening to podcasts, because, you know, like you never notice when people are listening to podcasts and that kind of thing. So I just try to do that to aggregate those. And then there's other podcast hashtags like support Brown podcasts and stuff like that that aren't mine, but gather other PLC podcasters and like just give you other hashtags to find podcasts.
Fantastic. All right. So that's you, the podcast leader. Now we're going to put on a different hat and talk to you, the podcast listener. How long have you been listening to podcasts? Not an exact science, just kind of an estimate.
I would say probably since about a year before I started Podcast and Color, which I think was in 2015. I'm so bad with year. About 2014, I would say is when I started listening to what I knew as a podcast.
Right. Okay. That brings up a question. Were you listening to a lot of audio stuff before then that wasn't podcast, but was something else?
I worked an overnight job and there I would re-listen to ESPN shows. And so I knew they played in an Apple Podcast app. So that's when I would re-listen to PTI and that kind of thing because I would sleep when they came on. So.
Gotcha. There you go. All right. Fantastic. Okay. So what kind of podcasts would you like to be matched up with? Now you're not restricted to Apple Podcasts or Podchaser categories. This can be as specific or as general as you want it to be.
What I'm really getting into now is storytelling, but in different forms, like whether it's the story of a musician, an artist, you know, a regular person, just an in-depth story of someone or about an event. I'm noticing those are the kind of things I'm really liking, whether it's true crime or whether it's like Wondery doing a business like FedEx, you know, versus UPS or something like that. I just want to hear like the background of it and hear more about it.
Okay. Do you, and just some clarification questions, do you want it to focus on one person, a community, or it doesn't matter?
Just an interesting subject, just an in-depth, it doesn't necessarily matter, just covering something well.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't have to be a someone, it can be a something.
Yes. An event. It can, you know, just kind of like an investigative, just going deeper into something or someone. And learning more, I'm really liking those types of things.
Okay. And what kinds of podcasts that are like that you already listen to now, just so that I don't match you up with something you're already listening to?
Well, I did mention Wondery, which is Business Wars. I listen to that when they compare two different businesses. Like I think they did TikTok and Instagram, and I mentioned the FedEx and UPS, and they've done other things like with vaccines and stuff. I would say there's Jacked that... Wondery did also, but that was on the new Jack sound, and that was just kind of covering Guy and like the music that came from that and the behind the scenes. Another thing I would say is Mogul, and they have 3 seasons now, and that was done by Gimlet. And the first season was covering a person in the industry. I know his last name was Lighty. The second season, they kind of did a little something on Combat Jack after he passed. And then this third season, they did a DJ in Texas talking about screw music. So just giving the background of something that I didn't know about. Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay. So far, you've told me that the kind of format, but I'm also hearing, I also heard sports early on. I hear music, I hear business. Are these categories that are your most wanting to touch on within those deep dives?
I would say yes. Those are the ones that I'm probably going to be closest to. I love a sports story, like 30 for 30 take me. So I love those kind of things.
Fantastic. Okay. Are there any other topics or categories or groups that you might like to hear more about in these deep divey podcasts?
I'm big on hearing about things I might not normally interact with. So I would say most people might say you might like this. And I would say actually give me something you would like more than you would give me something I might like. My likes are all over the place and I don't even really talk about it as much. So I think to me, it's been easier for me to connect with people to say, actually give me something you connected to. And I'm going to try to connect on the like you liking it type of thing. Yeah. I think that usually works better. I don't know how to explain it, but people that share podcasts with me that they like, I connect to those better than them sharing something they think I would already like, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. That happens to me a lot with books too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Podcast books, music, especially music. Yeah. It's hard to recommend music. Okay. Oh gosh, I've got some already in mind here. This is so much fun. Okay. All right. All right. So we're going to convene in the next recording and convene. Why am I getting all formal? I think the brick behind you is making me feel all formal.
We're in the courthouse. You know, feel it.
Exactly. Yeah. Where is my gavel? All right. So in the next part, we will dive into the Twitter profile of these 3 podcasts that I will magically find between now and then. And we'll listen to audio clips and we will check out probably their episode titles because the podcast is growing and changing and who knows what could happen between now and then. So Barry, thank you so much for this initial interview and we'll see you. Well, the listeners will hear you in about 3, 2, 1. Thank you, Barry, for coming back for the second part of your podcast Matchmakers episode.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. All right. So this is the part where we go through and we find out a bit more about the 3 podcasts that I hope to match you with. We listen to clips from them and you tell us your honest but kind impressions of what you think of them as we go. When you find a new podcast or somebody recommends one, do you tend to read about it first or just start listening off the bat?
It depends on how they described it. If they're like, you may like this, my first reaction is, I like nothing. Whenever somebody says that, I know I like things, but literally somebody says, you may like this, my automatic first thought is, I don't like anything.
Why, you do like podcasts. Always. There's proof of that.
But it's literally my first thought. Like, I'm like, I don't like anything. So what do you mean I may like that? So what does that mean? And so usually I'm like, I go kind of how that podcast is. I go in my head of more like, are you saying I like this because I've talked about different things? Because some people will be like, you've talked about, you know, liking somebody that does social media this way. Mm-hmm. So you might like their Instagram. And I'm like, okay, that's a better thing instead of just saying I might like the podcast.
Okay, so here's a good time to remind you that the interviews that I had with Barry and with all of our podcast guests for Podcast Matchmakers are videos first, and then they're turned into audio. So what that means is that some of the things that we talk about are visuals that don't really make sense in audio form. For example, at this point in the conversation with Barry, we switched over to looking at the podcast Twitter and website. And that doesn't really help when it's just audio. So those videos for all 3 of these podcasts are over on YouTube, and I'll put a link in the show notes for you. So if you're curious to look at those things and Barry's impressions of the Twitter accounts for the podcast and their websites and those visual elements, please feel free to dig into the YouTube videos. The YouTube videos are segmented into shorter segments. It's not one long video, it's short segments for each podcast. So there is that. All right, I'm not going to pop in later during the other podcast to remind you of this. Just know that anything that's very heavily visual is over on YouTube only, and anything else is in this episode. All right, let's get back to Barry. So the first one is sports oriented, not quite the sports ones you were describing, which I think was part of the point. So this one's called 80% mental thought process side of sports. And he does do them themed by seasons. I know you were looking for something that went into a little bit deeper of one topic over a period of time. And okay, that was hard to find in a sports podcast, but he tends to do that. Here, I'll bring that back.
I like that he had a website, so that's something
big
already.
Yeah, and there's a lot on it, by the way. So there's the host, and he is a sports psych consultant, which I'm not totally – sports psychology consultant. That's a thing. I didn't know that was a thing.
And see, that's the part I probably would have put in my Twitter bio. I probably would have started with just like, you know how people have a couple of like, these are the things, and then like maybe some words. I probably would have put sports psychology person, whatever, in the bio, and then put taking a deeper look at the mental health of people in sports or something like that. Just to kind of say, I'm in this industry, and also I'm talking about this. It's not just, you know, it kind of gives a deeper link of I'm doing something deeper.
I agree.
Not just somebody thought of something.
I agree. And it looks like he had the space to do that too. But I think what he did, not to speak for you, Pete, but I think I'm going to, I think because he linked his personal account, he maybe assumed that people would go here and then they would see his credentials in psychology. But I agree with you. I think it should be in both places. I think
and that's the thing. It's kind of like maybe somebody does that, but the chances are most likely you come to the profile and you scroll the Twitter before you kind of look for the extras. And that's if you don't get distracted. I always try to remind people that it only takes, like how you have a notification on the side. It only takes, let me go see what that is, because it keeps going up. I just got a text message. I just got an email, or, you know, just something distracting. So to me, it's like, it's very important to think in, I've been thinking like in the first minute that somebody's looking at this before they got distracted, could they find this again? Or would this be interesting enough that they could be like, what was I doing? That's what I was doing, you know, type of thing.
Oh, exactly. And there's a lot to get distracted by on there. So I agree with you. I mean, it feels redundant for the creator to put it in both spaces, but for somebody who's coming to the page, it feels necessary for it to be in those places.
And I think some people feel that way, but I'm like, whenever you look at someone when they do it like an HBO show or something like that, they don't mind repeating the same thing 10 different places. And I'm like, you have to take it that way, because that means some marketing expert was like, it's easier to put the same thing 10 places than for other people to try to figure out where it is. So you have to kind of take that marketing advice, like they're doing that for a reason. Somebody's probably researching that. So
Exactly. And if podcasts were people, which I feel like they are sometimes, when you go to a dinner party or will in the future or whatever the time frame is for this, when you meet new people, you don't say it once and you don't say who you are once. You say it each time you meet a new person. So that information needs to be there for us to get pulled in more. I love this. Barry, this is awesome. All right. Well, that's why I thought you would like it. Because again, it's got a theme per season, because I can talk today, per season. But he does talk to different people. So it is an interview podcast.
Oh, okay. And see, that I didn't get, but I will check that out. I do like it seasons. I'm very, like, I try to encourage people to do that. I know, you know, with the start of podcasting, everybody was like, nobody can take a break. If you take a break, you lose your audience. So I'm glad years in, more people are seeing seasons are the way, not just publishing every week. Like, everybody needs a break.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're burnt out, it does no good to any of your listeners at all. All right. So I picked one episode, diversity and cultural awareness in sports. I was very selfish on this. You told me
actually give me something you connected to, and I'm going to try to connect on the, like, you liking it type of thing. Yeah.
And I listened to a few bits of a few episodes, and I really liked this. I really liked this episode. I really liked this guest. I liked the chat that they were having, and I timestamped a spot to start listening to. So I got selfish, like you said, and it was fun. Thank you for that.
I appreciate you chose a episode. I mean, the podcast is by a man, of course, but I appreciate you chose an episode with a woman. I like listening to women. So likely I'm always going to choose an episode. If there's a woman episode, I'm going to choose an episode with a woman.
Here we go.
I think if we think about treating everybody the same, we assume that everybody has the same starting point or the same support, and that's not the case. So there is much more to do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of 80% Mental, a podcast all about the psychology of sport performance. We've covered quite a lot of ground. If series one was an introduction to the mental side of sports performance, I think series two has definitely gone beneath the surface a little bit more. We've had some absolutely fantastic discussions on topics like critical thinking, on injury, on sport parenting, creating team culture. And I don't know about you, but I've learned loads.
Well, we usually start with a question, but to be brutally honest, I couldn't actually think of a good question for this one. So it's more of a statement that we're going to discuss. And that statement is diversity and cultural awareness in sport. It's not really a statement either, really. It's just a sort of title. But that's what we're going to discuss today.
Great. Okay, let's dive into the short clip.
Okay, so we've talked about this idea of cultural competence, all right? And we've talked about this idea of awareness being a really important step and not being defensive when we talk about things like privilege. Okay, so I'm a young coach, right? Or a young psych, or even a really old one. I'm fully on board. I can see the gaps in my training. I can see the need for some development. Like, where do I start? Like, what can I do as a psychologist or a coach, like I say, to become more culturally competent, to become more aware? Well, like, what can I actually do?
Self-reflect. I mean, we've spoken just a little bit about this already, is that, you know, start with yourself, start with, you know, how do you identify and what are the power and privileges that come through your cultural identity you have? And recognizing that though we can go through all this cultural self-reflection, we also want to practice that cultural humility, because whilst we're aware of the power and the privileges that we have, and then, you know, and we start to learn about other cultures, we're not the expert on everyone else's culture.
Hmm.
So as a practitioner, I mean, for me, I mean, when I show up to a session, I may very well start with recognizing some of the difference there between me and my athlete or the person in front of me, and really try to explore what's important to them, because they are the experts. I'm not the expert. They are the ones. They are the expert of how they identify in their culture. So it's about learning from others in a way that's not, you know, so where, you know, offensive by sort of, you know, questioning or where are you from, as if to point out that you don't belong, but in a way that really is interested in the person that is sitting in front of you.
It's a really interesting one that you talked about, asking not in a way to highlight that the person doesn't belong, and it's just, you know, where are you from? Well, I'm from Gateshead. Okay, well, where are you really from?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, no, just because I'm black, I'm still from Gateshead, right? So yeah, I know you're expecting me to say like some sort of exotic, you know, African location, but actually I'm from Gateshead. But even just asking that simple question in a way that is, you know, you see it as a harmless question, that you're generally interested in somebody's background, but actually what you're doing is you're highlighting that they don't necessarily belong in the same way that you do. So I just thought it was a really interesting example that you mentioned there. Ale?
What do you think?
I liked it. And I liked what they were talking about. That's a whole thing. I think that there are just like, it'll be cut out, I believe, but like at the start of our conversation where it's like, how are you? And usually I don't even answer that question. So it was funny that I did and then asked you that back. But it's, I think there are questions that have been around and like we're comfortable saying them, but do we like, should we be saying, like, not necessarily is it even evil, but it's like we could rephrase that and kind of change it over how we phrase it, like how you're saying it. I think it's almost easier to just ask, like, are you from here, instead of automatically assuming somebody couldn't be from where you are. You know, so, and I think that if people kind of did that, if they rephrase it and just said, oh, hey, are you from here, instead of saying, "Are where are you from?" It could be a different thing of somebody saying, yes, I'm from here, or no, I'm not from here. I, you know, are, I'm from blah, blah, blah. But like, it would just give a thing of not saying, I don't think you're from here. So like, where are you from?
You know, yeah. It's so true.
I'm sorry. That's off subject of what that we're saying, but yes.
No, but it's not. It's still... I love the fact that she said she puts the, she brings up the differences first.
Yeah.
Cause a lot of people try to skirt around it by doing that. And sometimes they mean well, and a lot of times they don't, they're trying to find that barrier. So I love that she brings it up first. And that was something that I really appreciated.
Yes. Approaching it in a clear way of like, I kind of want you to know I'm not approaching this in a microaggression way, but I do have a question. I want to put out there and we can kind of talk about this. So, you know, I know what I'm, what could be happening and you could say that and we could talk about it. So I do think she kept that clear of like, I try to make sure in the conversation, they understand, you know, it's an understanding of like what I'm not doing. And I don't want you to take that. If you did, there could be conversation around that. You can tell like she's open to more of that, and what could we get out of this conversation versus like, I'm just gonna ask this as a microaggression and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And if they don't answer the way I think they should, or the way I think like, they would answer my question, I'll ask another unclear question. And all the number of times I've seen that happen to people, and I'm just like, why is this happening still? Yeah. And I was surprised to hear this kind of conversation in a sports psychology context. So that felt different to me.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, I'll have to revisit, of course, the whole episode, but I can only imagine in sports where you have a lot of different layers, whereas, you know, I'm going and maybe I'm interacting with somebody international or, you know, other things like that. But in a sports arena, you're usually doing things to people from all over the world in different phases. So like, you know, it can just mean a different thing of like, I know I play soccer and I know that many people that play this are not from here, or like, you know, those kind of things of like, you know, you go travel somewhere else to play. It's not that you automatically play for your home country for all different sports. So I'd like to see, I'll revisit that episode to kind of see how it plays out.
For sure. So it almost sounds like we whet your appetite. Hey, Steph here. I'm really hoping that you're enjoying listening to Barry and I chat about the different parts of the podcast that we're listening to and evaluating, but in a kind and gentle way. And this is very similar to what I do with the podcast audits that I offer on as part of the podcast matchmaker ecosystem. It is a paid service, and there's a lot of different options that you have with the audits. You can either do an audit of your Twitter account, you can do an audit of your podcast itself, the audio version of your podcast. You can do a combination of those two, and you can throw in a video chat with me as a consult after you do any or all of those audits. All of the information is over at podcastmatchmakers.com, and as well as the order forms and testimonials and everything you could think of that you'd want to know before making the leap to taking a deeper dive into your podcast and getting an outsider, but a listener perspective from an outsider, and getting a listener perspective from an outsider who's seen, heard, and created lots of podcasts herself. That's me. Again, you can order your podcast audit at podcastmatchmakers.com. All right, let's get back to Barry and her impressions of the other two deep divey podcast that I picked for her. All right. So we're going to move on and do the same kind of thing with the other two podcasts. And then at the end, we'll come back and do kind of a summary thing of which ones may have pulled you in more than others. Again, we're never saying on this podcast that one podcast is better than the other. This is all a personal connection kind of thing. So the next one is a business one. And I was kind of hesitant about this, but because I don't know your connection to or your attraction to technology, but I was really leaning in on the recommend ones that I like. And I love this podcast. It's called Command Line Heroes. And it's about different aspects of coding and technology connected to all of that. And there's a few seasons. They do, again, themed seasons. Some seasons are very, very techie. I did not touch those. They go deep into different coding languages and things. And although I found those interesting, I was like, that's not for common usage right now. We need something a little more connective. So I picked season 4, which is more on technologies that all of us have heard of. And it dives into the history of them. So I kind of, this is kind of my business and historical one all together, because I have like business lessons learned from these companies with that historical context on how the technology shaped our society. So it's got a few different things that I thought you might like. Okay. They do not have a Twitter presence. But, well, Red Hat is the company that has the podcast, but the podcast itself does not have a Twitter presence, but their host does. And so this is her Twitter page, but it's not for the podcast. So that's not terribly helpful with what we want to do. So I kind of went and found her website also, and this apparently is one of 3 podcasts that she does on coding and technology, which I didn't even realize, even though I've listened to multiple seasons. Wow. So we're mostly going to have to lean on the audio for this one. Wah, wah, wah. All right. So do you have a smartphone?
Yes.
Awesome. Have you heard of the Palm Pilot? Is that what it's called? Palm Pilot from ages and ages ago?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. That's what this, again, the whole season is around, more like communicative technologies and how they evolved over time. And this particular episode is smarter phones, not smartphones, because they were getting smart, but not quite smart yet at the point in time that they're talking about. So we'll start with the intro and then we'll go on to a clip. So here is the intro.
In the early 90s, a handy software developer took a stack of wood and carved it into small blocks of various sizes. He carefully compared the weight of each block. And when he found one that felt pocket-sized, he taped a printout of a tiny monitor onto it. Then he tucked the block in his shirt pocket and walked around with it to see how it felt to be attached to a device. He was imagining a not-so-distant future where we'd all be doing the same thing. If you think that guy's name was Steve Jobs, you're wrong. His name was Jeff Hawkins, and he created the Palm Pilot.
Okay, I get wrapped up in the music. We need to go to the clip now. Let's see, about 12 minutes. Do, 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 do. Here we go.
The Palm team's Hail Mary solution to keep on financing their new product was to sell the company to U.S. Robotics in 1995. It was the only way they could get this new connected organizer, which they dubbed the Palm Pilot, into the hands of customers. And they knew there'd be customers. Here's CEO Donna Dubinsky remembering what happened when Jeff Hawkins unveiled the Palm Pilot at a tech conference.
We had Jeff up there on the stage and showing the device. But the moment that was the most powerful and that got us a near standing ovation was he brought up the cradle and he put the device in the cradle and he pressed the button. And you could see on the screen, it's synchronizing with the PC. And that blew people away. and they just spontaneously applauded. So it was very exciting to see how they got the core value proposition of what we're trying to sell.
Palm's goal at that launch was to convey to people how simple the device was to use. But they didn't have a big budget to produce their reveal. So they got creative.
We came up with this crazy idea to have our mothers come and help us launch it. So we had my mom, Jeff's mom, and Ed's mom. They had little hats we made up that said, Moms for Pilot. They had little pins that said, you know, my daughter's daughter, or my son is Ed, or whatever. And we had them take orders for pilots on the spot. I bought my pilot from Jeff's mom or from Ed's mom or whatever. To this day, people stop me and say, I bought my pilot from your mom. And so it was really, really fun. They had a blast, and it made for a memorable launch.
What the moms were signing orders for was a huge step forward in handheld computing. But keep in mind, this is happening in 1996. Ed Colligan and Rob Haytani again.
The product ran on two AAA batteries for month. Okay. It had 128K of memory. You've probably never heard of a K of memory. It had a display screen that was a black and white, you know, display.
We had a screen that was 160 by 160 pixels, which is microscopic. I mean, I've designed icons almost that size, but so we had a very low power processor and a very small amount of memory. So I had a 16 megahertz processor, 128K RAM, and we had to make an operating system work under those constraints. So low powered screen, it was not color, it was not even grayscale. It was a monochrome 160 pixel screen. And then below it, we had a digitizer that was not a screen, but it was a digitizer so you could write on it.
Okay. So what do you think?
I was doing exactly what I would do during those podcasts, which is scroll my phone and listen. So yes, like I was in after the, before you even did the clip, when you did the first couple of minutes I was in, I was like, well produced, getting to the subject. This is all that I need. Like a lot of people take extra time in the beginning. And I'm like, if you're going to give me a preview, I don't need that to be a part of the podcast, but you can give me a preview. And I feel like she gets that. Well, I'm not sure, you know, what happens in the first 10 to 15 minutes, but I like that she gave like what's about to happen as a preview. And then it's a deeper thing. Like that was that kind of podcast I'll listen to. So yes.
Yay. Awesome. Okay. Yay. Okay. So is there anything else you would want to know? Like, do you look up hosts or anything?
I don't as much now. Sometimes if I wonder if people talk about growing on the podcast or something like that, I kind of will look in a way to be like, but are you really trying? Are you just dragging us for not sharing your podcast? So that's really when I'll go look. Especially I've been telling people I don't follow podcast hosts anymore because a lot of your personal opinions I don't care about. The fact that it's her, like she doesn't have a separation between the podcast and her personal account, I probably would have no way to keep up outside of the feed. I just don't do that. That like a lot of people don't understand that. And they're like, I want it to be part of me and I don't want to have to grow another account. And I'm like, but the cleanness of an account and me knowing if there's podcast information, I can find it outside of whatever you may be talking about at the time. That's a whole different ball game for me. So
it is.
I just want to be able to look and see like, oh, the podcast is going to be late. Oh, the season's coming next month. I don't want to have to like search through your tweets about everything else to try to figure out, is there any podcast information out there? But yes, I love the podcast. I love the producing of the podcast. And it's that kind of thing I would do.
Yay. That's wonderful to hear. And I'm so on that page. I used to not care so much about the podcasts themselves, having a different like space online, but the longer I listen, the more I'm like, I want to know about more about the podcast, maybe a little bit about the hosts at some point, but I really want to know more about the episodes, about the people in them or the story, the character, that kind of thing.
They can just, I think that when you have it mixed with your personal account, you tend to like have to have a lot of boundaries on the internet, but you also have to share your family and other things with your business thing. And I'm like, I'm big on having separate accounts for all of that because I'm like, no, I don't want that. Like, I want family to be able to talk about my family and cousins and not be connected to podcasting unless we're talking about podcast stuff. You know, just have a different thing. So I'm like, no, I like to be messy on the internet. Man, when I talk about podcast stuff, I go to my podcast accounts.
Agreed. All right. So those were the lighter two. And now we're going to get dark with the history one, the pure history one. And I don't, I really, this is the one I'm least sure if you'll like or not, if I'm honest, but it is fascinating and the production is amazing. So those are the reasons I thought you would like it. It's also things you don't know as much about in general, like history wise. It's not the stuff that we're generally taught or come across. It's called Real Dictators. Like I said, we're getting dark. It's called Real Dictators and it's by Noiser Podcasts and they have a few different podcasts. Real Drama, True Stories, Noise Created Award-Winning Podcast. So not a lot of information there, but their website is pretty stellar. There's a lot happening on the website. They do a lot of different things. So a little bit about more about them. They specialize in history and drama storytelling. I feel like we should just listen. What do you think? Should we get dark?
I'm open to listening.
So have you been to Spain or do you know much or are you interested in Spain?
I'm interested. I haven't been.
Awesome. Perfect. Let's get dark about Spain. Here's the intro.
It's July 2018, just outside the Spanish city of Valencia. The sun beats down on a group of people gathered around a hole in the ground. At the bottom of the deep square trench, men and women in masks and hard hats are on their hands and knees. Sweating in the heat, they sift earnestly through the sandy-colored earth. As they work, probing deeper and deeper downwards, they start to find what they're looking for. Small fragments of bone give way to bigger and bigger pieces. Until soon, the diggers begin to unearth hundreds of tangled skeletons. Rope from where the bodies were bound is still strung around the skeletons' wrists. Holes in the skulls indicate that they were executed at point-blank range. Automatic rifle shells litter the surrounding area. These grim discoveries are, alas, unsurprising, because this is the site of a mass grave. This excavated burial ground is barely 20 minutes from the bustling center of Spain's third largest city. It's less than an hour's drive from multiple havens of sun and sand on the Mediterranean coast. Each summer, foreign tourists flock to this country en masse. Unbeknownst to most of them, the land on which they recline, sip cocktails, and forget their problems actually contains untold dark secrets. This site, in Paterna, on the outskirts of Valencia, is just one of thousands of mass burial grounds strewn across the Spanish landscape. In fact, after Cambodia, Spain contains the highest number of mass graves in the world. The vast majority of them are the result of the White Terror, a campaign of repression orchestrated by Francisco Franco, which killed around 200,000 Spanish people. This was no distant medieval war, lost to the mists of time. It happened in living memory, in the 1930s and 1940s. If you've never heard of Francisco Franco or the White Terror, there's a reason for that. For decades, a code of silence has shrouded them from public view. Only within the last few years has the true extent of the horror been literally unearthed. My name is Paul McGann. and welcome to Real Dictators.
Okay, so let's skip to that clip.
Ships. For 400 years, from the 1400s on, Spain laid claim to one of the largest global empires in history. At their height in the mid-1700s, Spain's imperial holdings included swathes of South, Central, and North America, including territories that now form the U.S. Southwest. But by the time of Franco's childhood, in the late 1800s, Spain has undergone a painful period of transition. After losing the vast majority of their overseas territories, the country finds itself in a much reduced position. Like four generations of Franco men before him, young Francisco is destined to become a naval officer. But Spain's devastating loss in the Spanish-American War of 1898 crushes the boy's dreams of continuing the family tradition. Dr. Peter Anderson, historian and author of Franco's Famine, explains.
Spain suffers a terrible military defeat in a war, a very ill-judged war with the United States, over Spain's last remaining colonies, Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Philippines. I say ill-judged because the Spanish at this time had a very weak navy, largely made up of wooden vessels, whereas the United States was a rising imperial power with an increasingly formidable navy. The Spanish navy suffers a catastrophic defeat in Manila, where the Spanish fleet is annihilated by the steel ships of the United States fleet. A similar disaster overtakes the Spanish fleet in Cuba, where only one boat or one vessel that the Spanish have is made of steel, the others are made of wood, completely sunk. The Spanish admiral is captured, taken prisoner. Now, this is a complete shock to the Spaniards. The Spaniards had thought that they had a much older civilization, a much more powerful reputation. They thought of the United States as an up-and-coming power. They'd been expecting, perhaps inadvisedly, or some groups had been expecting, a dramatic victory.
Spain's crushing loss demoralizes the country as a whole, but it hits El Ferro particularly hard. The town is home to one of Spain's largest naval bases, as well as a shipyard. The majority of its citizens, including most of the Franco family, are employed by the Navy. Now, in the aftermath of defeat to America, they lose their jobs.
Franco's hometown, this naval town, very dependent on the Navy for employment and status, I suppose. Catastrophic loss.
The problem is they build the story so well that it's hard to cut them off at any point. So I'm just going to awkwardly cut it off right there. Like they're building up to the big one, but it doesn't like quite hit the climax in enough time for us to do what we need to do. So dark as it may be, what do you think?
It's something I've listened to, not all the time, but like almost like a, okay, I just want to listen to something different. I like how detailed it is. And I do listen to things like that. I would say I probably read more things like that. But I think probably because I just didn't know audio podcasts, you know, were going that deep. And like, you know, the different ways you can do that. So yeah, I like their point of view. And I think that like, I'm big on that. Now I love history talk because I'm always like, are you guys like new to this? Like sometimes people will say stuff. I'm like, this is what life is. So I don't understand how you don't know that.
I mean, there's so much to know.
Great, I mean, you know, or things like that. But I'm like, it's not the first. Some people will say something and I'll be like, it's not the first time. Probably not the first time this year. It may be the first time, you know, it's went viral or something. But I'm like, there's just so much where I'm like the layers of most things you can see in the history of the things. Yeah. So yeah, I do like those kind of things of being able to say like, because I'm an a-hole. I won't curse on your face. Being able to say, like, you didn't know that? You haven't read about that? Like, you know, you haven't Googled one day, like, why is this? why is
this? we would be in information paralysis if we did that for everything we didn't know in depth.
And that's probably why I don't get a lot done sometimes, but I'm very much...
Very true. Very
I have true. To stop and do a deep dive to figure out what's going on.
But that's what I like to say. I'm a curious person because if it's the right moment, the right person, I will ask and I do want to know. But there's so much. Yeah, there's so much to know. And yeah, especially for something like this where they do deep dives with like historians who've spent their whole careers studying and researching all of this stuff. And it's just, wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
I think that when that boat got stuck in the canal, the Suez Canal or wherever that boat got stuck, like that made me think like, oh, okay, I do want to know more about that because I have been looking at shipping and like shipping containers and stuff like that and mm-hmm. just how things travel around the world. So yeah. I've been getting more into that of like, how do things travel around the world? What does it mean that Amazon just built a thing in Mexico to like, you know, fly things to Mexico from China and then come over the border a different way? Like, I'm just into those kind of things. Like, what are the layers that are leading to the things that we see? Because sometimes yes. we only see the thing and we're like, why? So I try to look back on the layers of like, how do we get to these things where this is the only way it's used or this is how we do this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting you said that shipping containers are so fascinating in all of the best and worst ways. Like the whole thing of trade between China and the US was more robust or less strained or however you want to view it. And there yes. was stuff going both ways. It was so much better, but now apparently there's stuff coming to the US, but not necessarily going back to China because there are recyclings involved in it too. It's so complicated.
It's so messy. So it's just made me more interested in like, how does this all work and who controls all of it? Because, you know, we tend to think the president. So I'm very big on like when people say that now, I'm like, no, I look for the real names. There are real people that are probably like 10 connections from thinking the administration that are making mm-hmm. these decisions. And I kind of want to know who those people are because I probably think those people are more evil than some of the people that, you know, have the names that we know.
And it's probably more business, and not all business people are awful, but it probably is more of a business person making a
yes, and like when you're doing international decisions, somebody's going to have to take an L. That's one thing I understand. I don't believe that everybody has to be good or like, you know, that's our only choices because like mm-hmm. some choices are bad or badder. So sometimes it's just somebody saying they have to make the decision. So I don't fault people for that, but I do like understanding why those things are happening and like the powers that be that are like controlling it, you know, with strings.
Exactly. And deep diving can lead to shifts in things that are bad in becoming better, maybe sometimes.
But it's just understanding it. So it's kind of like, I thought this swing was negative, but after deep diving, I understand it for what it is, mm-hmm. Not negative or positive, but it just directs things different ways.
Yeah.
So you can just kind of like process it. So I'm in a thing where I'm like, there's a lot of gray area. I grew up thinking like everything is bad or everything is good or like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And now mm-hmm. I'm in the like, there's gray area. And so let me like figure out my way through that. And not thinking like this is only bad or this is only good type of thing.
The nuances in all of it. Yeah, yes. Me too. Definitely. And that's why the extreme opinions, I just like, nah, if anybody says all or never, I don't believe them.
Exactly.
Usually somewhere in between. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't listen to you. Goodbye.
The conversation is over.
If there's no nuance, you're probably not true. There probably isn't a lot of facts or you're hiding a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, and this is what where the conversation goes when you talk about dictators.
I can't say, oh my gosh, listening to that, because of Twitter, I keep up with international news pretty easier using Twitter lists. And when I was listening to that, it just reminded me, I don't know if you saw that there was almost a coup in the Sudan yesterday. And I was like, I'm up in the middle of the night trying to figure out if there's about to be a coup somewhere. Because now I'm like, it feels like every month somewhere around the world, somebody's trying to do a coup right now. So I'm like, these are things you used to only hear about, like, oh, that used to happen back then. And I'm like, we're in a weird time. So I pay attention to that. So when we listened to that podcast, I was like, this is so crazy because I was just thinking about these kind of things. So
I think the event that has taken over the past 2 years has really strained a lot of places. And I think it's just making things kind of get worse and worse and more. Yeah. Oh, poor Sudan. Okay. All right. So we listened to 80% mental, command line heroes, and real dictators. Which of the three, if not all of them, do you think you might actually listen to after this?
I would say I'm most likely going to check out all of them. If I had to rank them in, I know I'll check them out. It would be, the technology podcast, then the mm-hmm. sports podcast, then the history podcast.
Wow. Okay. Why?
The technology, it was just so well produced. I know there's a lot to learn from it. And it looks like they're really good with the details. So I really like that. The sports one, because mental does matter. And I do think about that a lot on like, how does a great get to be great in sports and, you know, in life and different things, because it really is about your mental and like controlling that. And I don't have that. So I like looking into those kind of things. And then of course the history thing, because it's like, the more you know about history, the more you're unsurprised as you read things now. So it doesn't seem like out of this world that things are happening. So
We're doing it again. Oh no, here we go. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm thoroughly surprised by your, thoroughly surprised and delighted by your reactions to these. I really wasn't sure, what you were going to think. So this has been
I'm open.
So. And you were really clear from the beginning what things you were, what podcasts you were looking for. And when indecisive, go with what resonates with me. And that would made it a lot easier. Like one of these I found on Podchaser in a list, and I went through a lot of podcasts in the list, and I finally found that one and was like, yes. And the other two I have listened to. One, the Command Line Heroes, I listened to a lot. And the other one, Real Dictators, my husband listened to, and he made me listen to a few, and I liked them. So it's, they were pretty personal choices. So I'm really happy that you like them. All right. We can't forget to tell to remind people where they can find your onlineness. No, where they can find you online.
Not a problem. All podcasts in color with an S. So podcasts with an S in color.com on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the same name, all the same logo. And that's where you find me. If you Google podcasts in color, I'll come up also. I do try to do make sure I'm coming up there. So you can find me if you're looking for that.
Yay. Thank you so much. This was so much fun too. It was a good challenge to pick some new podcasts, to find some new ones and to talk to you about what pulled you in with them. I always find it really, really fascinating to get into a podcast listener's head, even though that sounds slightly creepy, but
I understand.
Yeah. Like what do we pay attention to? And it's really, really fascinating. So thank you so much for being willing to do this.
No problem. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. Isn't that amazing? Barry is such a force in podcasting, and I'm so excited that we were able to have her on this podcast. One thing we didn't mention in her information is that on Sunday evenings, well, evenings for me, so usually Sunday mornings in the U.S., mornings and afternoons, on Twitter, she usually hosts the Twitter Spaces where she talks about industry news, practical tips, and has guests on there occasionally. I was actually on there last week. It was really, really fun. So keep an eye on her Podcast in Color Twitter account, and you'll see her Twitter Spaces come up on Sundays. And of course, don't forget that Podcast Review Day is on the 8th of every stinking month. You're probably listening to this on the 8th of October. Thank you for doing that. If you have time, please go and review one podcast to thank a podcaster for their extremely hard work in giving you content that makes you a better, more thoughtful, curious, and enriched person. Oh, it's cheesy, but it's true. Okay. I'm going to stop there. I'm feeling the pod love because I'm recording this outro 2 days before Podcast Review Day, and I get really excited coming up to the day. All right. Podcastmatchmakers.com is where you can find all of the information about Podcast Review Day, our audits, the newsletter, the Podversary calendars, and everything else that I'm forgetting right now. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Podcast Matchmakers. Thank you so much. And I'll see you on the Pod Rev Day hashtag. Yay! Welcome to the part nobody will see because I will edit this out. All right. I always hate the beginning part because it's clipped off. All right, cool.